Welcome, and thanks for listening to the Well Church Teaching Podcast. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. and would love for you to join us. We hope you will be blessed by our teachings, and as always, we want you to know that God loves you.
If you're new here, or if you've been here for a long time and you don't pay attention, we are going through the Gospel of Mark for the entire year. Today you're going to find yourself in Mark chapter 12. There's Bibles under your chairs if you don't have one. You can look it up on your phone. And here at the Well Church, we are all about violence. If someone next to you is on their Facebook account or reading Twitter or something, slap that out of their hand for the Lord, all right? I'm going to move this. Where should I move this? All right, I'm going to move it over here because it's going to mess me up. And I don't like it. All right, Mark chapter 12. So I want to say this again before we jump in. It has been an amazing year here. I'm Pastor Cole, by the way. I'm not sure if I introduced myself. Some of you don't know me. Some of you do, and I'm sorry, but you're still here. But this year, for me as a pastor, has been amazing. A lot of you are new. Some of you weren't even here last year when we changed our name and rebooted as a new church. And we're not really a new church. We're just the same church with a better focus and a better mission chasing after Jesus. But God is the one doing all of this work. And before we jump into our teaching time, I just wanted to do this. I want to give God one more shout of praise. If you're here this morning and God has touched your life or changed your life in any way because of this church family, because remember, we are the church. This building is just a building. If God has done something in your life and made your life better, even in a small way, just go ahead and stand to your feet with me. Stand up if that's you. I just want you to see this. Woo! Amen. Look around. If you're up front, look around. There's a bunch of us standing. God is doing work in this place and changing people's lives. You saw people getting baptized. You see people getting healed. All that. You can be seated. God is awesome. All right? God is awesome. So as we continue to go through Mark chapter 12, last week, I want to thank Elijah. Elijah preached last week on Jesus being the cornerstone of our faith, but also our life, which our life should incorporate our faith. Jesus is it. He is the cornerstone of that. That's in the beginning of chapter 12. We're going to skip to the very end of chapter 12. And if you want to do that with me right now, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase and set this scene up from you, this scene with Jesus in the temple. Starting at verse 41. So Jesus is in the temple, right? Remember earlier he had thrown tables over and stuff and was trying to show them that the temple system was ending. You no longer had to go to a certain location or building to experience and to worship and to be in the presence of God. He just shows up where you are because he now gives you his spirit. Now he's in the temple in this scene, and I have the offering box up here, our offering box, because this is what Jesus is doing, all right? And I kind of want you to think about this for a second. Jesus is sitting in the temple, all right, their church building, their holiest building. He's sitting there, and they had all these offering boxes. They had like 12 different offering boxes offering for different things. And the one, he was just kind of sitting, it says he sat down by one of them, and he started watching people throw money into the box. All right, I want you to think about this. I love this as a pastor. Our offering box is usually back there on the back wall. And I want you to think about, what would you do if you came in and you had your offering and your check or whatever you do, and you walk up to the box and Jesus is like, pretend I'm Jesus. I know that's hard, but pretend. And Jesus is just kind of chilling next to the offering box. He's like, hey, what's up? You're like, uh-oh. You don't even have a check ready. You don't ever, you know, you're like, oh man, I have a $5 bill. Some of you, who would start sweating if you saw Jesus next to the offering box? Or you would be like, I think we're going to go to the church down the street. All right, maybe he won't be at that one. All right, you would get nervous. That's what Jesus is doing. But I want you to understand, I said this earlier, this is not a sermon just about giving money. Definitely not about giving money. And I want to say it up front, God wants you to give money to him to bless other people's lives and to build houses and to clothe people and feed people and give medicine to people and have church services and do things where God is taught. But he also wants you to give your life. So what happens in this scene? Jesus is sitting next to this offering box in the temple 2,000-ish years ago, and he says, look at this. All these rich people come, and they're throwing all their big money in. They're throwing big offerings in and tithes and just giving, writing huge checks. I'm not sure if they had checks back then. You weren't there either, so you can't prove me wrong. But they're giving a lot of money. And then this poor widow woman walks up. And widows in that culture, we've talked about this, were kind of destitute. Their family had to take care of them, and if they didn't, it could be bad for them. And if you look right before verse 41, Jesus is talking about the leaders of the temple because they had become so corrupt. They had been stealing land and money and stuff from these same widows. taking their faith and taking their money and stealing from them. So they're sitting there, all the rich people have been given their money, and then this one poor widow walks up and throws in two coins. Two Roman coins, and you've probably heard this, but those two Roman coins don't even add up in today's money to one penny. So this lady basically walks up and throws a penny in the offering box, and Jesus, not some other guy, not me, Jesus says, that woman gave more than any other person. He says that she gave, what's it say in your Bible? She gave extravagantly. Say extravagantly. She gave extravagantly. Okay, this lady had one penny. All these other people are throwing in hundreds and 50s, you know, and maybe some dude's like, look, I got my favorite $2 bill. I'm going to throw that in there. Jesus says, that's great, but this lady gave extravagantly because she gave what? She gave everything that she had. She gave it all. The other people, he says, Jesus basically says, they gave from their wealth and they will never even miss it. But she gave in faith everything that she had. She was all in. And that's the name of our teaching time today, is all in. I want you to be all in with Jesus this morning. So look at one of your neighbors and just say, all in. All in. I want you to stay awake today. I told a bunch of you to drink coffee because Jeff prophesied about it. It's going to be a 4-hour sermon today. It's going to be great. All right? All in. So starting off, I like to have us ask ourselves questions because I don't want us just to be here and learn information about Jesus. I want us to become like Jesus. So I want you to ask yourself right now, are you all in with Jesus in your life? All in, right? There's an old hymn. We sang a hymn today, right? All to Jesus I surrender. You guys remember that song? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. And before you start answering this, like if you're all in, I want you to think about that song. I want you to think about this woman. And I want you to think about your life. Are you really all in with him? And then I want to tell you this, as you're thinking about this, and this part might sound a little weird, but you will never get to a point in your life where you're all in. So you're sitting here and you're like, well, then why are we having this talk? Why are we teaching this? If we can't do it, why are we doing it? Because it's our goal. But church, I want you to understand this from the get-go. You will never get to a point where you are all in, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, your entire life, your entire being, all of your finances, your entire thought life is all going to be about Jesus. And the reason for that is if you could do that, Jesus would not have had to come down here and die on a cross. If we could get to a place where we could save ourselves and be good enough on our own, he would not have to die in our place for us. We would not need to be a savior, or need a savior. We would not need to be saved. We wouldn't have to have it. We are flawed, sinful people. Raise your hand if you're flawed and sinful like me. Some of you are like, well, that's awkward. Dude, yeah, you are, right? But we love you and God loves you, and this is where you're supposed to be, in a church family of flawed, sinful people that love Jesus and are trying to find him so that he can change you from the inside out. Being all in with Jesus is the goal. It's the goal. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, if you backtrack to Mark chapter 8, and we did a whole series about it, we even made t-shirts that say it. It says, if any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself, and you must take up what every day? Take up your cross. You must live for Jesus in such a way that it might get you killed. He wants you to be all in with your entire life, just like this poor widow woman. And I want you to understand, she wasn't giving money to Jesus because she probably didn't really know about Jesus yet. He's just sitting there watching this happen. But she trusted in God, and Jesus is God with skin on. He's the Son of God in the flesh. And he's sitting there. She believes in the temple system, which he has been teaching in this chapter, in chapter 11, is going to end. But she believes, if I give this money, that God is going to use it to bless and touch and help other people's lives. Even if it's a penny, it's my last penny, but I'm going to have faith, I'm going to have trust that I'm going to give it to God. And she does that because she trusts God with her money, but with her health, with where she's staying. She doesn't really care about that. She just says, if I follow God, he's going to take care of me. That's what he wants us to get to. We talk about this verse a lot here in the church, the greatest commandment. We just talked about it a couple weeks ago. And I want to say this, before I start teaching on this, don't check out and be like, hey, we just learned about the greatest commandment to love God and to love people. I want to break it down today. I want to talk about going all in with Jesus. And we here at the Well Church, it's our purpose statement. And it's the greatest commandment. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? You know, out of all the hundreds of commandments and the Ten Commandments, which is the greatest one? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And then he added, but also, just as important, is to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Right? And we go over that a lot here. But I started thinking about it, I started praying about it, and God kind of put it on my heart for this week was, I wasn't sure for myself if I completely understood what it means to go all in with my heart and all in with my soul. And how does it mean, what does it look like for me to worship God with my mind and with my strength, which I don't have much. All right, some of you do, but I do not. I do not. So I had some ideas, and I just wanted to kind of help you think about this, because I think a lot of us in our culture, because we're taught to do this, we compartmentalize our lives. So I have this handy dandy awesome kid food tray. Who has some of these at your house if you still have little kids at the house? All right? Four trays or four compartments on this tray. All right? Where are the people in this room that love these trays? Like, you still wish these were appropriate for adults? Like, I cannot have my corn touch my mashed potatoes. Raise your hand if you're these freak shows. All right? We will pray for you. All right? Because that's not holy. That's not holy at all. All right? So many of us compartmentalize our life like this. All right? We have family down here. I write like I should have been a doctor. So we have family down here. Some of you put church and faith kind of in the middle. All right? That F is all kinds of messed up. All right? And then career. These are aspects of your life. And your plate, your tray, your compartments might look a little bit different than like fun and leisure. Now, here's my thing. I want you to understand, none of these things are wrong. I'm not saying these are wrong. What happens in our life, though, we separate these. We live our lives like this tray. We're like, well, I have fun over here. You know, I do a couple hours of church and faith. Maybe I pray a couple times a day. I have a lot of family time. And then I have a career because we all have to work to eat and pay the bills. Amen? Right? You have this. But I want you to understand that some of us are living our faith life like this, right? We're all in with maybe our heart, or maybe we're all in with our soul, or we're all in to God with our mind, or and we're all in with our strength, but not everything. We're not all in with everything. And the great commandment tells us that Jesus tells us that if we want to follow God, we want to truly love God, we got to love other people, but we got to love God with our entire life. And here's what I want you to understand. This is absolutely huge. You might want to write this down in your notes. And I stole this from somebody, I can't remember, but when I was studying this, it was great. All right? This is a really huge, important, good fact about God. But God does not just love certain portions of you. Right? Like if this is your tray, this is your life, God doesn't just like this little part of you. God likes all the messy parts of you, all the mess ups and the sin and the flaws. He doesn't like those things, but he still likes you. He still loves you. He loves all of you. I want you to think about this in your own life this morning, because so many of us are our worst critics. God is all in on you. All right? Repeat that in your mind right now. Just say, God is all in with me. All right? Because some of you need, you need to grasp that. Maybe that's the only thing you need to grasp this morning, is that God loves you and he is all in with you. He is crazy about you. And then he asks us, he comes here and he dies for us and he saves us. And all he asks us to do is to be all in with him. He's like, hey, I'm all in about you. I'm all in for you. Now I just want you to give this back. I want you to be all in with me so that I can use your life. That's the Great Commission or the Great Commandment. It's in Mark chapter 12. If you want to see that verse, so make sure that I'm not making it up, which is very possible because I have problems. Mark chapter 12, same chapter we're in, just earlier in there. In the CEV, it says, you must love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And this morning, I know that some of you, because I'm just like you. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't have problems. Some of my neighbors are here. I love them dearly. I'm glad they're here. They know I have problems. They see me every day. All right? Some of you people just see me up here on the stage, you're like, man, he's got it together. Him and God are like this. No, I'm just like you. We have problems and we have issues. And imagine there's a fence right here on this middle crack of this stage, right? Many of us are living our lives and we're straddling the fence. Right? A lot of us love God. We love Jesus. We want to do that stuff. But we also have a very healthy relationship with something of this world. Right? And not just bad things in this world, just maybe you really love your career. Or maybe you really love your Volkswagen bus and obsess about it too much. I hate those people. Right? But you have something. Maybe it is something bad. Maybe it is an addiction. Maybe it is a fear. Or maybe it is some bitterness that you're just holding on to from something horrible and evil that happened to you in your past. and you straddle the fence and you're like, I love God and I love this. This morning, what I want you to understand, God wants you to be all in. He wants you to go in on your side, because whatever this other thing is over here, it's not helping you. It's not going to save you. It's not going to fill you with eternal joy. It's not going to help you. Jesus talks about money, and he says, if you love money, you can't love both God and money, because you will eventually start to love one more than the other, and you will hate the other. And if your thing isn't money or greed, but maybe it's Volkswagen buses or an addiction or a career or something, whatever that is, if you start to love that more, you will eventually walk away from him, and he has so much more for you. That's why he says, I want you to go all in with me. Leave that stuff behind. Leave that stuff behind. You can enjoy things of this world and love things of this world, but you can't love them more than Jesus. It goes back to what Elijah taught us last week. Jesus should be our cornerstone. He is what our faith should be built on. He should be the treasure that we are seeking after. So I want to go through these four things that Jesus says we are supposed to love God with. Right? The great commandment. What are they? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay? So we're going to start with heart. All right? Who's ever had this question? I just want to make sure it's not me, because if it is, we'll just pray and we'll go to lunch. But has anybody else ever kind of wondered how you're supposed to love God with your heart or one of the other ones? Nobody. You all just want to go eat the meat. I understand. You're all lying. Well, I'm going to do it anyway, because I don't believe any of you, because you don't believe me, so it's fine. All right. God, we must love God with all of our heart. All right, your heart is an organ in your body that pumps blood, right? And praise God that you have that, because if you didn't have that, where would you be? You'd be with him. All right, so that would be maybe better for some of you. All right, but your heart is much more than a pumping station. When the Bible talks about your heart, it is the area of your life where plans are hatched and decisions are hatched. All right, heart and the next one, soul, kind of go hand in hand. There's kind of the two things, but your heart is where your emotions and your passions and your desires come from, right? When you hear people like, man, I love them with all of my heart, or they have a lot of heart, they have a lot of passion. That's what people mean, and that's what Jesus is saying. I want you to love God with all of your desires, with all of your passions. I want your thought life, I want your decision making to be made starting out in your heart. Jesus taught about the heart a lot in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. And most of these verses, so you can look them up later if you want to, are in your handout, in the bulletin handout today. But Jesus says this in Matthew 6, 21. Wherever your treasure is, there also your heart will be. So if your treasure is your family, or it's your lake house, or your job, or your addiction, or your girlfriend that your wife doesn't know about, if that is where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And if your heart doesn't belong to God, you're not all in. And he's not upset with you. He's not angry with you. He's just saying, you're missing it. You're missing what I have for you. Our cornerstone is Jesus, and you have to start making this decision right now in your heart for him. And I want to say that this to those of you people in here, this room, that are not yet followers of Jesus. If you're not a Christian yet, this is what it looks like. I don't know what Christianity has been described to you as, but Christianity is following Jesus with your entire life, and the decision starts in your heart. And we've been praying for you all the time, and I prayed about it this morning, that people that don't know Jesus yet, that he would start working on your heart, that his Holy Spirit would start pushing you. So this morning, I want to say this, because I remember this happening to me as a 15-year-old kid in Tulsa way back. My heart started racing. And I had all these feelings and these things pushing me, and I was like being drawn to God, and I was like, what is happening? That's God working on your life. That's God pulling you to himself. And if that starts to happen this morning, do not resist that push. Do not resist his Spirit. Just allow him to take you where he wants you to go, because it starts in your heart. The next one is soul. All right? Soul. Everyone in here has a soul. Look at your neighbor again and say, I have a soul. I'm really glad I'm not next to my wife. She would say, no, you're soulless. I've been told that multiple times. Love God with all of your soul. Soul is a mystical thing. We all have one. But right, have you ever had that? You're like, what is my soul? Like, another word for it is like spirit. What is it? It is a mystical, supernatural thing. And I said it goes along with heart. Your soul, right, you can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't go buy one on Amazon, right? Maybe if you have Prime, but probably not, right? But your soul is where it works with your heart. Your heart makes the decisions. Your heart has the passions. Your heart has the desire. Your soul comes along, and with God's help, it is where you start to act on your desires and your decisions. Your soul is the part of you, the supernatural part of you, that pushes you to live the way that you live. And I want you to understand this. If your heart and soul are not all in with Jesus, they're in on something else of this world or yourself or whatever your other is, your soul is going to pull you towards those things and farther away from God. God's going to chase you. He'll be right behind you because that's who he is. But until you turn around and face him and repent and come back to him, you're going to be off track. And a lot of you know exactly how this feels. Your life is chaotic and you keep making the wrong decisions and things keep piling up and you're like, what is happening? Maybe it's because your heart and soul are not following God, the creator of your heart and soul. They're following other things that this world falsely tells you, man, get this, do this, and you're gonna be great. You're gonna be solid. And Jesus is like, no, be all in with me. You might have those things, but those things are not going to fill you up. You need your soul. So here's what I want you to think about this morning. Your soul is your active life, how you live, how you give, how you serve. How is your soul? Right? I want you to ask yourself, and some of these are hard questions. Welcome to our anniversary day. You're like, man, I thought it'd be easy and all fluffy. No, this is real life. We want you to leave here changed and be like Jesus and to change the world for his kingdom. How is your soul? You need to do a soul inventory and think about what you spend your energy and effort on. Is it Jesus or is it other stuff? Right? Because it should be Jesus and using your other stuff, the things that you enjoy in this life, to point people to Jesus. The third one is mind, and I love this one. Love God with all of your mind. Say that with me. Love God with all of your mind. Your mind is your brain. This one is easy. Your mind is your brain. And I just want to be 100% clear. I love this one because I am a theology nerd. Some of you don't believe that, but I just love theology. I love reading about it. I love getting into all the intricacies where people are like Revelation. Like he was saying, I don't like it in Revelation. I like to get in Revelation and read all the different arguments and people just flip out about it. I don't know why I like that. I have problems, but I do. And that's how I try to love God with my mind. But I want you to understand this. In our culture, I run into this all the time, especially now that I'm a lead pastor, not a youth pastor. As a youth pastor, people just acted like I shouldn't know what I was doing. But now I'm a lead pastor. People are like, so you really believe all that fake stuff about that sky God? I've had people ask me that. Like a lot of people in our culture believe that Christians, you see this. They believe that Christians are just backwoods people that don't really know any better. And we just believe in this simplistic old ancient faith fairy tale, right? That happens. It happens. And there's a reason for it because many Christians and many churches, I've been to them, they just teach you and expect you to check your brain, to check your mind at the door. Just allow Jesus to do all the work. You just love Jesus. You just sing to Jesus. You just go to church. He's going to take care of you. Church, that's not it. We are to love God from Jesus, the Son of God. He taught us this. We are to love God, to be all in with our mind. To love God with your mind means that you actually know the Bible. The Bible doesn't save you, but it points to the one who does. We are supposed to know about Jesus. We are supposed to know about our faith. Romans 12, one of my favorite verses we've been talking about a lot as we go through Mark. Paul teaches us to transform our minds into the mind of God. To study the scriptures, to meet together in church services like this and to learn together, to be in home churches, listen to podcasts of other churches. If you go to another church and you're just visiting here today, great, but be all in there and start allowing God to transform your mind and to change it. Learn and absorb as much information as you can about him so that it will change you from the inside out. And then you can do what 1 Peter 3 says. This is why we are supposed to know our own faith. So many of us, right? We become Christians, we become saved, we get saved, and we're like, sweet, I'm in, I'm going to heaven, I'm done. I don't need to know anything else. I'll just go to church and Cole will teach me something. I want you to be in your Bible. I want you to be in your scriptures because 1 Peter 3:15 says this, and some of you really need to look this verse up and maybe write it down and allow God to work on your mind in this one area. Because I think this is something that this church and many churches are lacking on. It says this. If someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Always be ready to explain the hope that you have, the faith that you have by loving God with your mind. And I just want you to think about this. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to look at somebody and say something. But if someone asked you, like say you're at lunch at PDQ and someone's like, hey, so did you go to church today? And you're like, yes. And they're like, why do you go to church? Why do you believe in Jesus? I think that stuff's crazy. What would you say? Would you be able to have an answer for them, an answer that makes rational sense other than, oh, well, I just believe that he's God because he says he is and that's good, so can I have my sandwich now, right? Like, would you be able to show them in reality what he does by sharing your own story, your own life, but also what the scriptures, what the gospel says about him? Love God with your mind. And if you're here, I just want to say this because I'm a theology nerd. I have commentaries. I have all kinds of tools that I use to learn and to grow and to do these things. If you want to know more, how to get more in depth with your faith and to study, I am no genius, but I know how to point people to do that. I have resources and I can tell you where to make that happen. So if that's you and you're like, look, I don't know my faith very well, but I want to, and you need help on that, come find me and talk to me about it. I'll probably get real giddy and it'll be gross, and we'll work on that together. The last one is strength. And Matt just left because he knew I was going to use him as an example because he lifts weights all the time and he makes me look horrible. All right? But love God with all of your strength. All right? This is one of the ones that I struggle with. I'm like, how do I love God with all of my strength? Does it mean that I'm like, I'm super buff and I can just like help people move all the time in the name of Jesus and just do physical things? And I read about it. What it's saying there is that this woman that gave her one penny, she is the definition. She is the model of loving God with all of her strength, because your strength here refers to all of your possessions. Right? It refers to all of your stuff. She gave all of her stuff to God. She gave all of her life to God. She is the reverse of the rich young ruler that we looked at a couple weeks ago. The rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and said, hey, I followed all the commandments, but what do I need to do to follow you? What one other thing? And Jesus said, sell all of your stuff and give it to the poor. And the dude left. He was sad. He walked away because he was in love with his stuff. He was all in, supposedly, but he was really all in with his stuff. Right? And I, once again, I don't want to say that God's saying you have to sell your house and sell your car and sell your VW bus and give it to the poor, but he's saying those things should not be more important than your faith. If you can't give that up, or if you did lose all that stuff, which is possible in this world, a hurricane, as we just saw, can take your stuff. If your stuff was taken away tonight, would you still have faith? Would you still have joy? That's what it looks like to be all in with your strength. It means to use your possessions, your money, your finances to bless other people and to build the kingdom. That's why the offering box, that's why Jesus was saying that, but it's so much more than just your money. Don't think you can just come here and be like, well, I'm going to give God a lot of money and I'm good. He also wants your hands. He also wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your soul. He wants you to be all in. It's not one of these things. It's all of it. Because remember, God loves all of you, not just portions of you. He doesn't want just a portion of your life. And here's the question that I always ask. God, why can't you just be satisfied with me giving you some? Right? Like, God, I'm trying so hard. Why can't you just be satisfied with giving me giving some of my life to you? And here's why. This is what I've learned in my 42 years of wisdom by doing it wrong 90% of the time and God smacking me going, see? If you just give God a portion of your life, what will happen time and time again is exactly what he said. If you love both God and money, you will eventually start to love God and hate money, or you'll eventually start to hate money and love God, vice versa. I might have screwed that up, but you understand what I'm saying. You will start to love the other more than him. If you just give God a portion of your life, your portion is going to get bigger and bigger, and you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to realize that you are super far from God, and it says that you will hate him. And in this world, we are filled with a world of hate, all the things going on. But true hatred is not where you spew things at people and say, I hate you and I don't like you. True hatred means you don't care. If you truly hate someone, it just means you are apathetic to them. You could care less about them, right? If you're mad at someone in your heart and you're like, I hate them, you probably really still like them. You're just really mad. It's where you get to the point where you're like, I don't care about God. I don't care about God in my life. That's where he doesn't want you to get. And that's what will happen if you just give him a portion of your life. He warns us about this over and over, and he knows how this works because who created us? He did, right? He's like, hey, don't do that. Don't do that because that's a wrong path. So he says, I want you to be all in with your heart and your soul. I want you to make decisions with your heart. I want you to live out your life with your soul. I want you to build your mind up and transform it into the mind of God. And I want you to use all of the things that I have blessed you with to bless and serve other people. And that's where it goes into, because he says the second commandment is the great, is just as important as the first. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Because God doesn't want your money. God doesn't want your heart. He doesn't want your soul. He doesn't want all your strength. He wants you to be that person to love other people. He doesn't need that because he's holy and he's perfect and he doesn't have sin in his life. But we do. We need to be these people for each other. We need to be all in for God so that we can be all in for each other. And then definitely for the people outside of this building that don't know Jesus and are struggling and are just wandering around. The Bible calls them lost. They are lost and they're just wandering around and they are looking for something to fill them up and to change them. And that thing that they are looking for, they're filling that void with all kinds of other crap that this world tells them, but Jesus is the thing that they're looking for. Jesus might be the thing that you're looking for. And he wants you to be all in with him, to love you and to change you and to transform you and to bless you so that you can bless other people. And he can use your life to be a light in this world. And I'm a person that's been changed from the inside out. Some of you know my past, you know my background story, and some of you have those stories where you were this, but now you're a child of God and he's changed your life and he's using you to do things that you can't imagine. This morning we are here celebrating 1 year as the Well Church. And it's the same thing. I want to celebrate this year. It's our anniversary. It's been an exciting year. God's been moving. A lot of you are coming in. It's awesome. This is becoming an on fire church home. But I want you to understand, this is just 1 year, right? This is the first step. We're not celebrating today what God has done. We're celebrating where he's going. Because God doesn't look in the back and he doesn't go, okay, that's what we did. That's awesome. God's like, let's just start, let's keep marching forward because there's more people that need to know about this love and to have us all in, right? Amen. And it's going to take all of us. All of us. Amen. It can't be just me. Praise God. You don't want that. It can't just be me. All right? I can't do it on my own. People, God needs people who are all in with their entire lives. All right? This woman, I want you to think about this woman again. Because some of you are here like, well, maybe I don't have a lot of money. Or I don't have a lot of stuff. I don't have a lot of soul or a lot of passion. This lady took what she had, the very little that she had, and she gave it all to God. And he said, you gave more than anyone else. You gave extravagantly. But I want you to understand, this woman was poor in the eyes of the world. But in the eyes of her father, the eyes of Jesus, she was filthy rich in faith. That's what he wants you to be. He wants you to be filthy rich in your faith. He wants you to be all in your faith, where you trust him no matter what your bank account says. You trust him no matter what's happening in your life. You trust him no matter what the doctor tells you about your health. You trust him all the time in every situation in your life. The band's going to come up as we get ready to close and have an invitation time. This morning, what I want us to do, the invitation is twofold. God invites us to be these people. He says, if you want to love me, you want to love other people, you have to be all in. It has to be about everything. For those of us that are already believers, that we already follow Jesus, those of you that are straddling the fence like me, get off the fence and jump on the side of Jesus. I'm telling you, it is worth it. Give it a shot. Even if you don't trust me, trust him. Trust him and allow that to happen. And then for those of you that are here, that maybe you're one of those lost people that are wandering around, you're no more sinful or bad or messed up than anyone else in this room. The only difference between you is that Jesus has not become part of you yet because you have not asked him into your life. That's what he says. He invites himself into your life. He says, just let me come into your life. I will save you. I will help you. I will turn your mess. We always say this. I will turn your mess into a message. I will take your chaos, all of your struggles, all the crazy stuff going on in your mind, and I will calm it, just like I calmed a storm on your planet. And he says, I will give you new life. I will make you a new creation, and I will love you from here to eternity. That's what he's inviting you to do. If you're here this morning with us and you don't know yet Jesus, you don't know Jesus yet, this is what it looks like. To be all in with him, to allow him to love you and to change your life from the inside out. If you need Jesus this morning, while we close with this song, we're going to praise God again with another song. Come find me. Some of our leaders will be in the back. If you need someone to pray with, that's where we'll be. So let's go ahead and stand and sing as a church family.
This is Pastor Cole from the Well Church. We hope you received hope, truth, and encouragement from our teaching today. As we mentioned before the podcast, we meet each Sunday at 10 a.m. and we would love to see you in person. If you would like to support The Well Church, please visit our website at www.thewellchurchedmond.com and click on the Give page. We hope you have a great day.